wow, how you guys like that music. I didn't know it was going to be that power packed. I have like 12 samples here. But anyway, this is Jermaine Griggs. Welcome to this audio talk. You know, in the last week or so, I put out about 70 pages worth of information. Between the first musician transformation report, it was like 44 pages long. Many people said it was groundbreaking, and I just gotten so much positive feedback from that particular report. And then if that weren't enough, the 29-page missing chapter that we put out a couple of days ago, you guys have really just enjoyed this collection. I believe they told me 21,000 people have downloaded the reports combined. Actually, wait, 21,000 in the first 48 hours. So that just gives you an idea of how many people are really tapped into this. And in this particular audio, I wanted to just more slow it down, because if I pack something else on top, I mean, you guys need to really digest what I've already put out there. So this is going to be a little more lighter. So you don't have to get out a pen and paper. I mean, some of you will, because there's going to be a lot of inspiration tonight. But, you know, I wanted to back up and really just kind of get into, you know, how the musician transformation came to be. Even further than that, I really want to talk about the Hear and Play story for all of you out there that just really love what we do, and you're just very interested, because I've never told these stories before. I've always been like the hardcore content guy, just, you know, get the stuff out there. And I really don't tell the stories, but tonight I really do. I want to tell the story. So, you know, there's going to be a lot in here. I chose to title it How Bob Barker and The Price is Right Got Me Fired from First Job and Helped Me to Start Hear and Play. Now, obviously, okay, I have a confession. Bob Barker really didn't get me fired directly. And what happened was he didn't really cause it either. He kind of caused it. I just needed that to get your attention. But really, no, truth be told, Bob Barker is in this story, and The Price is Right does have a lot to do with how Hear and Play got started directly. I mean, if there was no Price is Right, there very well could not be Hear and Play. So I'll cover that a little later. But right now, you know, a lot of you guys have asked, how did this musician transformation, like, where do you come up with this stuff, Jermaine? And really, the musician transformation is kind of unique. It's the only system that I came up with this in this way. Everything else was a little more different. This one has been like a work in progress for like 11 months. To be honest, I didn't even know when it would come out or when I'd be ready to reveal it. I actually stumbled across this musician transformation earlier this year. And of course, it wasn't called musician transformation then. It was more so an idea. You know, and these concepts, I was kind of already teaching some of the parts out there, and my blog had it all scattered in a million places, but there was no resource to my knowledge that had simplified everything in this system into one simple method or one simple system. So after the initial idea came to me, even though we'll call it the nameless idea, before it came to me, I had pretty much shelved it right after. You know when you get excited about something, you tell your wife, and she's like, baby, and she's like, yeah, great. You know, but and, you know, she's always very supportive, don't get me wrong, but you know, I have so many ideas, she's like, okay, great. Well, soon after I had shelved it, because in my mind there was just so much going on, and I covered a little bit of this in the report, there was just so much going on this year that I didn't want to take on a big project like this. Because what I had in my mind wasn't just a few components. I mean, it was one system, don't get me wrong, one simple system, but it brought together like everything someone would need to know to play without sheet music by themselves. Like, I was taking on a big responsibility. And with everything that was going on, like, as many of you guys know, I found out after 26 years I have a new sister, and how that came to be. I was the one that actually discovered it. Let's just say her mom didn't know after 26 years. My dad didn't know after 26 years. And it took me at the birth of my best friend's baby to connect some dots. You know how you like, how did that happen? And, oh, you know him? Oh, okay. So then I put, you know, that brewed in my mind for a couple months. That's serious stuff, having a sibling out there. Some of y'all don't know. I haven't been through that kind of stuff. And then inside of that, I mean, I'm waiting for DNA results. And I'm the one, you know, ordered them and everything. And then my wife got pregnant. You know, that's, we talking February. So my wife got pregnant. So now we're expecting our second daughter, and she's in those beginning stages. And it's rough in the first trimester. And we're waiting for the DNA as well. And then we find out my grandma needs to go to chemo because of her leukemia. And then while I'm finding, I'll tell you about the DNA later, the DNA results, but nobody can remind me, but at the end, hopefully. Then I found out we have mold in the house, which is nothing to laugh at, and we had to move out for like 2 months. Wife's still pregnant, but we caught it, so it was good. I just start smelling stuff. And then, of course, the Gospel Music Training Center, you know, we had that in full force. So we were managing, you know, 800 members or whatnot. So, you know, it was actually several months later when I finally decided to actually revisit this concept that it's like I didn't want to do it, but it just kept popping up. You know, I'm like, oh, leave me alone. What? This must be something special about this. So when I finally decided to share it with some folks, still didn't have a name for it. It seemed like the system really clicked for those few individuals that I decided to share it with. One person was one of my earlier students named Roizelle. I'll get back to the musician transformation in a second. But my first student, I got to tell you guys about him. I've never shared his story. This guy was one of my first gospel students. Like, we're talking 2001-ish, 2002. He was a teenager. He had come with his siblings to live with his aunt. His aunt had told the testimony, had a rough background, whole nine yards. And I would always notice him looking at the musicians. He would come over to the piano after church and just watch what we were doing. And, of course, I'm not that stingy type that I exposed in the report. So, you know, I'm freely entertaining him and showing him and just, you know, there for him. Whatever he wants to ask me, I'm there. And soon I took him under my wings and gave him my first course, which coincidentally I had just produced. So this was around 2000, late 2001, early 2002, and it was Gospel Keys 300, which ironically was my first course, not 101. Praise songs. I knew praise songs like the back of my hand. That was the first thing I did. So he took that course home, and I mean, this guy devoured it. He was no more than about 17 years old, maybe 16, maybe even younger than that. He devoured that course. I mean, he wasn't like most people, you know, who do nothing. You know, they get the course, they put it on their bookshelf. And yeah, he wasn't like that. He was serious and hungry for success. I could tell just the way he would look at the piano. And then that very next week, without help from me or help from anyone else, I kid you not, he came back playing the entire praise song format I had taught in that course. It was five parts. This guy came back knowing it more than me, and it was just very encouraging to me. Now, he only knew it in A-flat, the key I taught it in, and he would later learn it in all 12 keys, but I was just so impressed that he came back with anything at all that quick. So, you know, Roizelle's the type, you know, when I do come up with something, I want to show it to him because he always brings me joy because he was that first one I shared something with that I saw immediate results. Probably without him, I wouldn't have had the confidence to bring it to you guys. And because he just took it so fast. I shared 101. He got that. 2 months later, I had him filling in, you know, because when you're a young preacher, they ask you to get up and say the prayer. And I had to preach sometimes. And there was no piano player for me. The pastor got me on the piano, but I had no one. So Roizelle soon enough took over. I didn't mind sharing, you know, the spotlight of the music. That's not a problem with me. So now the guy's playing for celebrities. He's gotten to a point where music is his life, is his profession. He's centered around it. It's what he was born to do, he told me. So when I showed him the musician transformation, and you got to understand, I have a lot of respect for him because we go way back. Even though he's been playing for more than 6 years, actually, I probably underestimate that. But he went crazy over how I had lined up every single concept that he had learned in years past. And is still learning today how, like, this one system just had it all lined up. I even remember him like, man, it's like everything someone needs is, like, right here on this yellow piece of paper, because I put all my stuff on yellow pads. And even then, as crazy as it sounds, even though he was all pumped up about what I was working on, he was like, man, do it, do it, do it. Like, don't wait, do it. But even then, I still wasn't that excited about moving forward with perfecting it. And it didn't have a name. It's just too much to do. So now let's fast forward a couple of months. And me and JP, all you guys know JP, Gospel Keys Urban Pro 600, we were on this private Gospel Music Training Center teleseminar. And I happened to just slightly mention this system that I was possibly working on. Like I told the parts, and everybody's, I can't see them, but I would imagine everybody's eyes open. And I didn't even talk about it that long. I mean, I mentioned it so nonchalantly that I didn't even think anyone really heard me, let alone remembered any of the details. But I came back, because we do these calls every 2 weeks, so I can't hide. If I say something, this is like the only program I have where it's direct access to me and the faculty, because you can ask questions live. So, of course, when I came back, they were like, can you tell more about this program? And then I thought they had forgot after a couple months. They were like, you said you were coming out with this program. That was supposed to be everything. And so I couldn't run from it. So soon, you know, I had to do it. Finally, I started recording it, and I still didn't have a name, but, you know, I think I just threw something out there. I said, what is this? And I just said, Musician Transformation, put that down, but we'll change it later. And I guess because you guys are reading it as Musician Transformation, we never change it. I guess that's what it ended up being. So I had these five key elements, okay, five elements I wrote on this yellow pad, and I figured, okay, five elements, 30 minutes. I could make this a two-hour course, 2.5 hours at the most. But we began recording, and I guess, honestly, I forgot what type of person I am because, you know, you guys all know I like to spell things out. I like to be as thorough as possible. And this system, it had five elements. And what started small, I guess I could say, ended up being around five separate DVDs ranging from 1 hour and 20 minutes to like 2.5 hours each. Truly a monster package. I didn't do the math, but we're talking at least 9 or 10 hours, and that doesn't even include other little bonuses and stuff with it. When you add the audio, it like doubles, of course, because you can put those in your car. So, I mean, I'm not saying that it was just perfect. We still had hiccups that threatened the success of the program, like the lighting in some sections, you know, because John was on some of the parts, JP. So, you know, he's light. I'm pretty dark skinned. So it's like you got to do the lighting, and it didn't even end up being right. And I almost said, let's just not go with it. You know, too much going on. I'm getting the DNA results back. And then my wife is going into her second trimester. I'm taking grandma to chemotherapy every other week, switching off, and she has to go to Dallas. Just now getting back in the house after 2 months of living in a rental, you know, so I'm like, just not do it. And got back on the teleclass at GMTC. When are you coming? Really is like, because there's some people that catch on to it more than others. Most people were like, you know, whenever you get it. But there's just a few people that were just adamant on me finishing this thing because I had promised it. But despite all of it, I can honestly say here, looking back at it, what emerged was honestly the best all-in-one system I've ever created, hands down. It's probably the one system out there that has all the pieces in one place in an easy formula. Everything is just so spelled out. So I was reluctant, but I'm glad that I finally got to it, even though it was an 11-month project and probably would have never gotten to it. We did. Okay, so now the free reports was a little different because I really didn't want to do those, you know, 44 pages. But I'm the type of person, when I sit down to do it, I'll do it. But it takes a long time to get me to sit down and do it, just like Musician Transformation. When you turn on the camera, I'm ready to go, but it's getting to that point. So what happened there, and this is why I really appreciate your emails. Keep your emails coming because I really do read them. It gets busy, but the pertinent ones do get to me. And one evening after reading through emails, I got this one that really made me fed up with how the whole church musician industry is. I'm going to change gears when I tell this story because, you know, there's musicians out there that just, they hide what they know. They aren't willing to share with the many Roy Zales, because there's many Roy Zales out there, my first student. And I believe that's a big problem. And if you find yourself in Roy Zales's position, well, actually not Roy Zales's position, he had me, but there's many people out there that are Roy Zales without the help they need. And if you find yourself in that position and, you know, people aren't willing to share with you, I want to let you know it's not your fault, because it's really these musicians. I believe by them keeping from you the secrets that they know, I think they believe that, you know, basically, well, if I don't share, they gonna need, they do it the way they, I did it. They need to, you know, put in the tears and the sweat like I did. And they think by them doing that, it's keeping them at the top. You know, they can shine now because, you know, nobody's coming and taking their thunder from under them. But in the long run, you know, they're only hurting themselves. You guys know what the Bible says. First shall be last, last shall be first. I know Jesus didn't mean it for a gospel organist, but, you know, that's how it works. And they hide their secrets. But here's the thing that really makes me mad. It's not that they don't share, but many of them only share, and they call shedding. They only shed with musicians that are either as good or better than them. So if you're still coming up and you can't give them anything in return, then you're the ones that are out of luck. They're still shedding with the other cats, you know, that can come through and show them some runs and licks. But if you can't show them anything, that's kind of how it is. Now, not all of them, but most of them is like this. So that's one key reason why I decided to stop what I was doing and in the midst of all this to really sit down and write this report from my heart. Because I knew not everyone could get the 12-disc package, which I'll talk about soon, but I knew everyone would read this 44-page report, and I wanted something to be in there for everybody. And if you haven't seen the 44-page report, it's at hearandplay.com/MT report, MT report. And so for those of us, and I'll just talk to you guys, for some of you guys that don't have the leisure of shedding with these musicians or even finding a teacher who knows this stuff and not just knows it, because some of these teachers out there, they don't know this stuff. They're going off the conventional means and you know, how people have always done it, sheet music kind of stuff. So first of all, they got to know this stuff. But most importantly, they got to be willing to teach it to you exactly the way it should be taught. Because, see, most people are afraid of you understanding it in just a few lessons, therefore catching on quickly, therefore leaving them, which means they stop getting paid. You know, it's not in my best interest to show you everything up front. You know, if I were a teacher, for example, in my carnal state, thinking about money, it's not in my best interest to lay out a formula, let's call it musician transformation. You know, it's not in my best interest to lay that out for you and say, bank, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this is what you're doing, you'll be done. Okay? You'll give me $30 for the lesson, $50 in a good area, and, you know, you'll start thinking like, okay, well, I can just do this myself. So a lot of teachers that think like that, they're going to string you along and break things up and just give you a little bit enough to keep you coming back for the next lesson. So I wrote this for both of you guys. Whether you have a teacher or not, I wrote this for all of you guys. We're all in the same boat here. We're all in this together. And that's why if you read my first report, I made you promise that you always share and never keep this great information to yourself. That's very key to me. That's the most important thing, because I read these emails, and although, you know, I've always, you know, been the one sharing, so I've never been in that situation where I had to lean on someone, I know many people that have, just because of the 700 emails that we get. And I take that back. I mean, I probably was in some of those situations coming up, but I just really didn't take it that seriously, you know, seriously being a kid and all that. So I know what you're going through. But one thing that surprised me, though, when I was writing is I had no idea, like, okay, I knew I was just writing from the heart, but I had no idea it would resonate with so many people and be the most downloaded report on my site in my entire 10-year history online. No idea, hands down, no idea. And it's not like the email was like all big. I sent out a regular email. It's no different than my other emails I send out, you know, with neat lessons and blog posts. I used to always do that. But somehow when people saw my chart and how I laid out this entire system, it really resonated with them. And but I must say, this system, this musician transformation system, hear me, I'm not trying to sell it to everybody. This system isn't for everyone, because some people, they just want to, some people don't want to do things for themselves, you know. I didn't write it for those folks. If you want to continue to be powerless and keep feeding into the egos of those musicians who don't want to share with you, and you want to keep asking them, thinking something's going to change, and you want to keep putting on a pity party and continue not to do anything to change your situation, that is totally fine with me. I didn't write the report for those folks. And I have gotten some emails from those folks, despite the 44-page report, despite the 29-page report, that are still playing pity party. And I'm like, okay, you didn't read my report. I know you didn't read my report. You need need to stop what you're doing and read my report. But I understand most of you are not that person, thank God, because I wouldn't do Hear and Play if I got those kinds of emails all day. Most of you guys, you know, you're hungry for this, you're serious for this, and in fact, most of you have already devoured the report in its entirety. And if you haven't, I suggest that you do it, as many people have said their eyes have really been opened by it. So one thing, though, that came from it that really just – I'm just talking to you as an insider – it seems now after this report, I guess because I learned how to use fancy graphics and stuff like that, maybe that turned you guys on. But it seems that people think I'm some genius or something. But I promise you, I'm the same person before the report. You know, I know it's been passed on a lot, and it's probably put us in a different light. And I'm thankful for the response and everything. But I promise you, I'm just the same old Jermaine, typical musician, just like you. The only difference, I just always wanted to know how things work and how to shortcut the process without missing out on the core essentials. That was, like, always important to me because I know how hard people make music and, you know, they make music out to be, and it just hasn't been that hard to me, but I think it's because of mindset. So my number one goal was to just get that out, to get this mindset out there. And I'm not a genius or anything like that. It's just a different way. I heard somebody say, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So that's me, and I think it's fair for me to let everyone know that. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. It's kind of weird now because since I've been using all these fancy graphics and diagrams, which I love making because they do simplify things. I think more teachers should think differently like that. I think people, though, you guys are, like, calling me big professor. Somebody call me doctor. I'm like, people are asking me if I'm, like, where do I teach or, you know, do I have students, personal students, or if I majored in music in college. I've already even had a handful of people ask me where I studied or what conservatory I went to. Y'all using big words. I'm like, and I said, you know, I want to make this audio just to really clear all this stuff up and really give them the truth about me. So first of all, sorry to all you academic types out there, and I'm sorry to let you down, but the answer is none of those. I didn't major in music or study music for that matter. In fact, I would probably be considered more of an outcast in the whole academia world, since I teach people ways around their traditional and boring orthodox methods. Don't get me wrong. Some teachers and the unorthodox professors, they do like me. But I don't think I'd be invited en masse to lecture or anything like this at this point. Maybe I don't think so. You know, so I don't really have that training, that classical training that you're looking for. So people come and ask me about sheet music and all these fancy words that go back to classical training. That's not me. You probably don't want to be at this site. I'm sort of that rebel in a way, but in a good way. You know, I really do teach you the right stuff. I teach you how to get past all that fluff and theory stuff that really has nothing to do with getting to the gig. So most folks don't know my background, my real background, like taking it back to childhood. So that's what I want to do in this. I'm going to get back to musician transformation, and I'm even going to tell you how that DNA thing worked out. But let's talk about my childhood for a little bit, because I was one of your types that started playing piano at like 7 years old. Now, remember I talked about The Price is Right? My grandma had won this piano on The Price is Right, this old antique piano, among other things. She won a car, too, and she won this china case. All this stuff she's had to this day, except for the car. She drove that for like 25 years and got rid of it in the 90s. But she won this piano. I was trying to look for the footage online because YouTube does have a lot of archives. I think it was in the 60s or the 70s. But I heard she was a character on that show. You got to know my grandma. My grandma, like, puts on everything. If she wins something, oh my gosh, she goes crazy. If somebody scores a touchdown that she likes, oh my gosh. So I want to see this episode, but I know she won this. So she would always be playing, even before I played, you know, and all little kids want to be a drummer. So I would, you know, take out the pots and pans, and I play along with her, hitting against the couch, making holes in it, and then telling my mom, I don't know what happened. So she would play Walk With Me, Lord, and that was one of our personal favorites. I think my mom played, too. My aunt said she played and always wished she had stuck with it. But for now, it's just my grandma that I saw playing. And I would graduate from playing the pots and pans to picking out little melodies on the piano. When she wasn't around, I would hop on the piano. Now, I was out of tune. We ain't know nothing about tuning. And if we did know something about tuning, we would we didn't have any money to hire anyone. So I remember, like, playing the wheels on the bus, go round and round. And then I remember the day I graduated up to playing this Little Mermaid theme song because my little sister loved Under the Sea. Under the Sea, da-da-da. And I remember learning that because it had these arpeggios in it. Like, it was all major chords. I remember just picking out the melody and then hearing how it went. Bum, 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 bum. You know, I learned that, and it was just so encouraging to me. I thought I was doing something. And so that led to me playing real songs, like melodies graduated to chords. Even though I didn't know what I was doing, I could hear it clearly. Like, this goes here, that goes here. And I had confidence to know that I was doing it right. So about, like, 10 years old or so, I was playing at my church for the youth choir. And this was a Baptist church. And then I remember my mom leaving that church and going up the street to this Pentecostal church. Now, all I got to say is Pentecostal. I began playing there, too. And I had to learn fast up-tempo shouting music real fast because they the type like to shout all night. And I already knew about shouting, but I ain't know about that kind of shouting. That church wore my hands out. And so I would spend my adolescence there from about like 11 years old to 14 playing at various churches. That church was my main church, you know, making like $25 a Sunday. They was robbing. When these kid musicians, see, they rob us because they know we don't got bills like that. So it was like $25. I won't say the church name to protect them. I would play for youth choirs, events. I mean, and I started also preaching at 12 years old. So I would share my tasks between music in the church and ministry. Those were my two lives, and being a student, of course. So soon around the time I was like 14, after my grandfather started his church, I went to play there and I was his youth minister. And that's really when people started asking me to teach their kids. But ironically, I was a kid myself. They're like, teach my kid how to play. And I'm like, I'm a kid myself. So I remembered it was like the summer of 1997 or so. I was like 14 years old. I had 7 students. And it was funny because I already had this briefcase my grandpa had bought me for Sunday school materials. And I would carry it to church, you know, trying to act older than I was. And what I would do, I would empty out all the stuff during the week and put my piano stuff in there. And then I would switch it back out before church. And so it's like I felt good. I officially had my own business now. And everybody thought I was all cute and stuff. And also around this time, I was really interested in learning as much as I could about what I was already doing naturally on the piano. This is where I think some people miss out. There's a lot of people that are, you call it unconscious incompetence. They don't know what they don't know. And a lot of gospel musicians don't get past that. I was there. Don't get me wrong. I was teaching myself. I didn't know what these chords were called. I didn't know what scales were. I didn't know why the melodies were created the way they were. I didn't know how to string chords together. I didn't know circle of fifths. I had to learn that stuff. That's why when people say he has a gift. See, people, there is an initial gift, initial seed, but you have to cultivate that seed. So I don't know what it was, but I was just always into studying and learning. Like, there wasn't nothing I couldn't do if I put my mind to it. So, you know, I'd go to the library. I was just really into finding the names of what I was doing so I could explain it better. I would read a lot of books. I would check out a bunch of stuff and return it all late. I'd be having fines all on my library card. I'm probably still banned a few places. Hope they wipe that out when you get 18. But these books, they were so boring. So when I did figure something out, I would come up with my own little shortcuts or formulas to make it very easy to remember or recall. I guess if I did have a superhero power, it probably would have been the ability to simplify stuff really easily. I learned that at an early age. When somebody asked me something, I could break it down. And maybe it came from preaching at an early age because I would have to read a scripture and break it down to the young folks. The same thing applied here. You know, I was able to break it down. So soon I was teaching the 7 students I had how to do all the same stuff I was learning in the books, but I would be an intermediary, if that makes sense, in between it, because I couldn't give it to them just as is. And since I'm that type of person, some of you guys don't really know me, but I can't stay put. If you ask anybody that knows me, I do bounce around. I probably have a little ADD in me, just as most business people do. But I dreaded teaching seven students the same thing. And as soon as I said it once, my brain, it hated repeating the same thing to six other kids. And I had one kid, he was like 7 years old and hard-headed. But his mama thought I was some sort of kid prodigy and wanted her kid to be one too. Jimmy, get over there. He a prodigy, you going to be a prodigy too. So I had a seven-year-old. He was like my youngest. And I was like, well, I started at seven. Why not? I think I could show him something. And if he could adapt what I did but know the knowledge behind it as young as seven, he could probably be a force to be reckoned with. So my solution to, like, teaching seven kids the same thing, and this is where it really ties into Hear and Play, how it got birthed, is I would create these little workbooks. And basically what I could do is document all the scales and chords and patterns I used to play songs. Because I had researched them, now I clearly knew, you know, what was going on. I didn't know everything, but I knew enough to make sense of everything. So I could put them all in my very own workbook. That way I could sit there with them as they went through the workbooks, answering the questions and doing what it said. And literally, I was just sitting there with them because the workbook was doing all the work. And, you know, sometimes I would record a few things on this cassette recorder my grandpa had bought me, because he said, always record your sermons, son, always record your sermons. So I had this old school cassette recorder, and sometimes I would copy some, like, stuff on there, some demonstrations and some instructions. I would copy them, and then I would dub them in one of them old school dubbers where you had to press play and record at the same time and then wait for it to end and flip the tape. I had all of that going on, learned how to do it, and it worked well. But the only problem back then was that I was relying almost 100% on the workbooks and and the audio when I did provide that. I was relying on them to do most of the work, you know, my workbooks, because I didn't do all that work for nothing. And I started personally getting lazy, you know, because I wouldn't, like, just be right over their shoulders. I would just let them. They were learning fine in the workbooks. They were really getting far. I was very surprised. And so I would let the workbooks do most of the work. That was my secret. And long story short, I was fired. That's why, as I said, well, Price is Right, how it got me fired, because if I wouldn't have started, you see how I tie that in. Well, I was fired by, like, three of the seven parents because they preferred, you know, for their kids to just go through the books. It wasn't a bad firing, and it wasn't like they all happened at the same time. But I think some of them noticed that the book was pretty cool. And so they could just call me when they were done, which, of course, you know, they wanted to pocket that money. I know I'm charging that much anyway. So, you know, if the kids were doing good, I guess why spend the money on the personal guy if we can just use his book? So I definitely understood where they were coming from, but they didn't have to fire the old little 15-year-old. Come on. I'm going to have to go visit them and tell them what their firing did. Praise God. But anyway, fast forward 2 or 3 years. So I had kept those workbooks, even though I wasn't, like, doing anything with them. I just had them laying around, right? And at this point, I was a junior in high school, and I was, like, on a totally different path. I had joined this mock trial team where you perform these simulated criminal trials, but you would do it in real courtrooms with real judges in real roles. It was, like, the real deal. And I found myself good at it. Remember the conscious competence I talked about? Like, I knew that I was good at this. I mean, I was, like, Johnny Cochran Jr. or whatever. I had all the sayings and everything. And long story short, I had one top defense attorney, and this was like in all of California, like thousands of participants. I mean, my competition were literally like rich kids whose parents were actually attorneys. And here I was in the inner city projects taking the top honor and, you know, got to meet the mayor, supervisors, written up in a paper, NAACP award. So at this point, like, music was farthest from my mind. I had already gone through the whole, you know, piano lesson thing. And now I was, like, on the fast track to be a lawyer. I wanted to be a big-time lawyer. Anything I did, I wanted to do it big, y'all. And I got accepted into the University of California at Irvine to study law and criminology, and I made up my mind. I was going to be a big-time lawyer. So, you know, that's pretty much, you know, up until I went to college. Now, here's where it really turned, because you guys are like, well, you ain't a lawyer. Obviously, I'm not. But my senior year, I remember someone asked me if I still teach piano, and I was reminded of my workbooks I created a couple years back. And, of course, I'm always playing at church, but I'm not really focusing on teaching. So around that time, the internet, it wasn't really as big as it is now. Now everybody on the internet. If you're not on the internet, like, you're frowned upon. Like, oh my gosh, what do you do? You know. But back then, it wasn't so much so like that. And so I started seeing like normal people putting up websites, like in the early days. And I figured, why don't I try to put one up? So I learned what I had to, you know, read a few books on HTML is what you call it when you want to put up a website. It's this little code. And I started offering my books online. Actually, I remember the day. It was like August 6, 2000. I went to this site. It was called Network Solutions. It's where you had to register here and play. And I took $70 from my last Sunday service because I would get paid around this time, like $100 a week. Still nothing big, but, you know, my grandpa was paying me, but I was like everything in the church, youth minister, Sunday school teacher. So he was getting a combo deal. That's all right. So I registered hearandplay.com. After all, that's what I had mastered how to do, hear something and play it. So, you know, because I was starting in the beginning, all these names were available. If I would start this company today, that name would not be available. I'm sure that somebody else would have took it. But I started Hear and Play, put up the site, and the next day, millions of people came. And it was I was a superstar. Not exactly. Yeah, right. That's what people think. You put it up and the masses will come. That didn't happen. I struggled to get like 50 people a week to the site. Eventually, though, the first person bought my package, and I was overjoyed. I told my grandma about, you know, getting a sale on the internet because I was staying with her to help her out and stuff. And she said, boy, what you done got yourself into? And I was like, Grandma, no, I got a real sale. Somebody wants my book. Remember my book? She said, boy, don't be getting on this internet thing because the news says it's giving out viruses, and you're going to get sick on that computer, boy. And I was like, no, Grandma, not them kind of viruses. And I had to explain it all to her. But I managed to, you know, really keep going on the internet. From the year about 2000 to 2001, I managed to sell like a few packages a month. And some of you guys that are listening to me were actually those folks probably like 10 years ago almost. Nothing major, but, you know, I published a newsletter between classes when I could and just ran it on the side as I finished my last year in high school. Now, you guys all know Sarah, my wife now, but she was actually my girlfriend at the time. Yeah, almost 10 years ago. And she would go with me to these copy shops around the corner, and we would copy and bind the books. That was like some of our dates. And then we would drive over to the post office and send them off. And those are the beginning days. And then I went to college, fast forward like a year or so, and now I'm studying law, you know. But on the side, I just happened to stumble across this site that was teaching people how to grow their, like, internet businesses. So I was immediately attracted. I was selling something online, but, you know, wasn't doing too well. And I learned just how to get people to the site and how to really, you know, structure it for success. And because before that, I really had no idea what I was doing. I was just a kid who put something up the best I knew how. And, you know, if it worked, it worked. I'm still going to be a lawyer. So by March 2002, and I remember this date, I highlight March because probably it was a turning point in my life in terms of career. This is when I had redone my initial five books. I had redone it into one book, and believe me, I had to skip a lot of class to get that done. But I did finish it, and I relaunched it the proper way using some of the techniques I learned online. And I don't know what it was around this time or what happened. It was almost magical or supernatural, or God had his hands on it. But I just remember, like, overnight when I launched this new website with this new book, that people were just coming out the woodworks, and they were buying. And my cell phone lit up. My roommate was actually kind of mad, my college dorm mate, because it was just so much activity. If the phone wasn't ringing, the computer was beeping because I had a live chat on there I learned how to put on there. And I would say over the span of like 6 months, it went from a cute hobby to like a real business, like something. I mean, most people would have just quit school at that point, but, you know, I knew I had to stick with it, and I really did want to do the law thing. But God was truly blessing me, and I had never seen anything like this up until that point in my life, considering where I had come from. And it was just awesome. I was just so grateful. I remember that feeling I got back then, just that feeling of, you know, going from nothing to a little bit of something. And so now at this point, I was, you know, after it grew more and more, because, you know, it went from selling to now people telling their friends because they were getting success. So I wasn't really advertising, you know. I hadn't gotten that deep into it, but people at their churches were telling each other, and they were just coming. I'm like, whoa. And I'm trying to run this thing, and I don't know how to hire people, but, you know, I needed help and stuff like that. So I was considering leaving this whole law thing and maybe studying music, like, at a big school, you know, to so-called legitimize myself. So I remember, like, this was 2003 or so, I started researching, like, the top music schools, like Juilliard, and I found out, you know, that Juilliard, for example, I found out it was more than the school I was at. I'm like, wow. It was like $50,000 a year to go there. And I know some of that's room and board, but I remember it was like $27,000 just for tuition alone. And then when you add in all the other stuff, I'm like, man, this is more than University of California. And then I kept researching. I found like Berkeley School and some other schools. That was like $47,000 a year. So, I mean, at that point, I really realized, wow, people are really serious about their music. I don't know why I was expecting it to be cheap. It just seemed like, I don't know, my initial thought was like, you don't pay the same thing for music than you do for maybe business or law. That was just natural, right? But, people really do. But I realized even if I did take the leap, I know, you know, grandma and them wouldn't be too pleased because, you know, they wanted to see their son in, I guess, a big prestigious role or whatnot, but they came around. But even if I was to get financial aid, I guess I was naive to think that I would even get into schools of that caliber, you know, because when I kept reading the admissions website, because I didn't know, I mean, I was just like, Juilliard, I got a business, Juilliard, I got students, Juilliard, you know, I was thinking it was just going to be easy. And I kept reading the admissions website and eventually found out how it really worked, that playing by ear alone wasn't going to get me in to some, like a music school, not even Juilliard, any program worth its weight for that matter. I mean, I can go to like the local school or something like that, but I, you know, I was the type to go for the top, you know. Plus, I was already at a top school for what I was studying. So, you know, and as I researched it more, I soon discovered that those kind of schools weren't for someone like me. I mean, even if I wanted to go there, I couldn't go there because I didn't have a traditional orthodox classical music background. I just didn't have it. I wasn't trained classically or traditionally, and they weren't in the business of teaching me from scratch either. So I would have to audition with other people that have been reading sheet music and classical methods all their life, and I would have to do it under their rules and requirements. And so obviously that quickly changed my mind because I'd never get in under their requirements. So I went back to law. I stayed my butt at that place, or I stayed put, and that was the end of that whole idea. So I ended up graduating. I hope you guys, you know, I have something to say at the end of this, but I end up graduating with my bachelor's in law and criminology exactly 4 years later because I always stay busy doing my schoolwork on one end and then running here and play on the other. I was very adamant about finishing in four. But I'm wanting to do this school thing for, you know, because I was thinking about going full-time at this point, but I really didn't want to. I still wanted to do this whole prestigious law thing, but, you know, I'm the type of, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. So 4 years was my max that I was giving myself. And it was funny because I would do a lot of work, and then I would go to office and do my work, and I'm like the youngest people. I'm hiring all these old people or older than me, and ironically, I'm the only one having to do, like, homework. And I'm like, telling someone, okay, I need you to do this, and then I got a paper due the next day. It was weird. But that same year, I had also gotten married to my high school sweetheart, Sarah. We tied the knot. So I have to really think seriously about my decisions because now they affected another person. And so after completing, you know, I was at the end of the year. I knew I would graduate with honors and all that stuff. So after completing my law school application, because that's the next step, you get your bachelor's in whatever field. It doesn't even have to be law, but you go, you take the test and all that stuff, and then you get ready to send in your applications to major law schools. And, of course, I picked the top ones. And I remember the look on everybody's face when I decided to rip up my law school applications to focus on my true passion that I had developed over the years, and that was Hear and Play. I guess that game show Change of Heart, well, you know, at this point, just really taking everything in and where God had brought me from and to and what my true joy was And, you know, I could do the law thing and look good on the outside, but, you know, I knew how that whole thing worked. And here I had something that was blossoming, that made me happy, that I love the students and the people I work with. So I just, at that point, I chose to rip up a life of that, and I chose Hear and Play. And I'm extremely glad that I did have the opportunity to study law. I think it further honed my natural skills to find loopholes and shortcuts, because I was always that type. But I think after studying law and looking at all this, these case laws and case studies and all this stuff, I think it further honed my natural skill to find loopholes and shortcuts, because if anyone knows anything about law, that's like a key part. Sometimes it's not even about the truth, which was another problem for me as I really decided on this whole thing and how it fit with, you know, what God would want. So now, instead of finding loopholes in the courtroom, I've pretty much devoted 100% of my abilities to finding loopholes and shortcuts in music. I guess it's like the same thing, just without sacrificing. You know, it's one thing to find shortcuts, but my goal was to still find the same loopholes and shortcuts I always had been good at doing, but without sacrificing the core essentials, and I think that's important. So that's why my students can move at an accelerated rate and don't have to worry about, you know, other musicians. You know, it's kind of like now they're independent. Now you don't have to worry about other musicians that don't want to show you nothing. My students don't have to be rejected at prestigious music schools. I've been there. I know how it feels. Or being strung along by a teacher who only shows them enough to keep them coming back. My goal was to get somebody self-sufficient and for it not to take an extremely long time compared to, you know, those 15, 20-year stories you hear, or kids that start at 7 years old and, you know, been doing it since. They're, like, grown, you know. And still, if you take away the sheet music, they don't have freedom. So, you know, that was kind of my goal. I kind of like to say that I specialize in liberating musicians, you know, liberating, making you free, allowing them to experience, you know, what it feels like. And I get these emails, you know, like what it feels like to see the looks on the faces of those same musicians who wouldn't show them anything. And then they come back and my student is playing all the same chords and the same ones that the musician years back wouldn't show them. Now they're playing them and the musician's like, "Let me show me something now." And he's like, you know, obviously, you know, we turn the other cheek and we don't do to others what they do to us. So even when, you know, that same person, now they want to share it with you and now they want to play chords with you, you know, forgive them, you know, tell them they was wrong, you know, for being all arrogant, but that you're not going to return that favor to them. You're going to, you know, show them stuff and share it with them. That's one feeling I hear a lot of people have, and that's a great feeling. Or the feeling of independence when you can just walk into your private teacher, not a good one, but the ones you don't necessarily, you're there because you want to learn music, but you know that they're kind of stringing you along. I mean, I like to hear because I'm the musician liberator, I like to think of myself, I love those stories when I hear people that are able to tell their teachers thanks, but no thanks. I save my $30, $40 a week because you weren't moving me fast enough anyway, and I felt like you were stringing me along. So, you know, and I'm not saying all teachers do this, but I do. These are just the stories that I hear. So basically all of this birthed Hear and Play, and now we're recognized, it's crazy, but in just these short few years that we've been online, we're recognized worldwide, and I'm so grateful to see what God has done with it, because I certainly didn't set out to do this or could have ever predicted what it would have turned into. I mean, heck, I was invited to Singapore at this business motivational event, and then, you know, I was going to tell my story about Hear and Play. A lot of people want me to tell this story. And while I was there, this church also asked me to speak. And on top of that, they asked me if I would do this workshop the day before. And since I was there anyway, I decided to send a quick email the day before to all my students in Singapore. And the next day, around 60 people were there. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Like 60 people were there. And I was thinking that it was more of the church members and not my own. And so I asked how many people knew Hear and Play, and the whole room, like, raised their hand. And I was floored because we had Raven fans in Singapore, and if it actually weren't for my email, I probably would have had only like 7 people from the local church show up because, of course, you know, they didn't know who I was. So that's kind of what Hear and Play has turned into. And I've been to many places. I've sent an email, and I've met up with people either just via lunch or via workshop like this one, you know, not official ones, usually just little quick things. But that's pretty much the Hear and Play story for some of you who've always wanted to know my background. I'm actually surprised I've never shared it in depth before now, but now you know. You know how Price is Right had to do it and how I kind of started. That's pretty much everything in a nutshell. I'm not a professor. I don't have traditional training. If you ask me to sight read something on paper right now, it would take me longer to do it than probably like a five-year-old reading a mystery novel. And to be honest, I don't know if it's like one of the top things on my list to ever accomplish at this point, because I love playing by ear. And I, sometimes, you know, somebody will say something smart in my emails, and, you know, I'll reply back. The name of the site is Hear and Play. I do believe in see and play. There are times and places for see and play, but God gave me Hear and Play, and that's what I know. Okay, I don't profess to know everything, but playing by ear is what I do. You know, the young people say, this is what I do. This is what I do. I can play anything I hear by ear, and I can teach other people how to do the same. And to me, playing by ear is ultimate freedom when you understand how music works and you're not just reading word for word that, you know, of what somebody tells you. Now, I have nothing against reading sheet music. Don't go around saying, Jermaine says don't read sheet music. No, go for it if you have the time, the energy, the resources. It's not a bad thing at all. But when compared to playing by ear, it's like puppet mastery or like copying someone's homework word for word. If that person don't show up for school, you don't turn in homework. For the people, at least, that just stick with sheet music and they don't choose to learn the other side of things. They don't choose to learn how music really works. And because of some of these ideologies of mine, to most conventional teachers, I'd probably be frowned upon. Who knows? I don't know. I don't particularly put myself in those situations. Like, I don't go to conventional seminars and be like, hey, here I am. I only play by ear. Everybody else sucks. And I don't believe that either. But I probably, you know, I frown back, though, because most don't know how to show you the real musical process and how to get someone up and playing in days and weeks like Roizel did without stringing them along. And for all I know, maybe the cat string technique is more because of money and retaining students longer. Who knows? Maybe the few who know these shortcut techniques I cover would teach the whole process in a few lessons, but that means that you'd end up paying a whole lot more money up front to make up, you know, for the students not staying for several months or years. So, I mean, instead of, you know, basically stringing you along, it'll be like $500 right now per lesson. I'll teach you what I know, and then you can go on and apply it to other stuff. I mean, I don't see the model working $30 a week and then you being done in 4 weeks, because something like Musician Transformation, it just puts it all out there in a simple system. 4 weeks, bam. You know, as long as you do the work and you meet it halfway, you can be there. You know, you don't need to be strung along 12 months worth of lessons. But that's your preference. There are good teachers out there. Coaching is awesome. You know, you if you need that guidance, fine. But like I'm saying, most people don't cover it this way. So you end up learning a little bit here, a little bit there, and a little bit forever. And you never really get that complete system. So, you know, and it's kind of funny a little bit, because when I run into people at the office, they'll ask me about, like, my background in that sense. And sometimes, to be honest, I feel insecure. Jermaine is insecure in this way. When I tell them, more so in the past than now, but, I'll tell them I didn't go to school for music. And then they'll, like, change the topic because, like, there's nothing to talk about. Because I'll be like, I didn't go to school for music. Sometimes I'll tell them I went to school for law. Most of the time it's none of their business. But, you know. And then when I started getting emails from people I've never heard before asking how I learned all this and who I learned it from and like what are my credentials, you know, I got all weirded out and I just knew it was finally time to tell this story. So that was kind of one of the reasons I chose to, you know, just really open up. This ain't a lesson more so than it is just talking to you as a person. And like many of you have said, it's a gift to teach music like this, and perhaps it is. But I also want you to know that I don't think it's rocket science once you understand it the way I do. It's almost like just changing the way you look at it, and then it just comes very easy. And it's not hard. The way I look at it, I don't see it. I've never seen music as hard as people makes it to grasp. And I think it's because of the way I choose to look at it and how to filter out the stuff you don't need without missing key ingredients. I think that's key. And heck, I fully expect you to be teaching and passing on yourself very soon. As you know, that's how you get to the mastery level, by eventually teaching others. So before I end this very candid talk with you, I want to talk about some of the details regarding the 12-disc Musician Transformation Package. Write it down. It's coming out Tuesday, November 24th, 2009. And many of you have emailed me to ask, like, will the package cost like $200 or $300 because it's so big and comprehensive? The answer to that is I will announce the price in a few days. But as always, it's not just about the money. I will be very fair as always. I'm always fair with pricing. And, yes, it's a big course. And, yes, it costs a lot to replicate. But it will be well worth whatever we charge. That is the only guarantee I will put on it. And I'm telling you, it's the best thing I have. And the real important thing is that you get one of them, because the way it looks right now, just by looking at the numbers they gave me, is that it's going to sell out real fast. There's 12 discs in this package. I had no idea beforehand how people would accept the Musician Transformation System. That's a lot of discs from a duplication standpoint. I didn't want to spend an arm and a leg with a big inventory of courses if they were just going to sit there and people weren't going to like it. So that's why I ordered the minimum quantity with this new company I work with, which is 1,000 packages, and they do a good job doing the whole 12-disc package. So I can't get more for now. I will order some next year or so. I don't know when, but right now we only have 1,000 to work with. And so now that I put these reports out, it's pretty clear to me that we've started something out there, and I'm pretty confident that the 1,000 copies will sell out fast, considering that we got so many replies, like I think 1,900 the first day from you guys for that 44-page report. Thank you all you guys that tweeted it. 500 of you tweeted it. Right now it's like, I don't know, 200 comments on the blog. GMTC members have been asking about it on our last teleclass, and they get first dibs at it because they're Inner Circle members. And just the fact that the last time I launched something like this, which it was only 2 hours long, a tiny fraction of the information that the Musician Transformation course has, and it sold out in 3 hours. So considering the fact that this is a mega package that pretty much covers a full system and is almost five times bigger, I don't think it'll have a problem selling out either. But, of course, I don't know. So here's what I want you to do next. If you want to increase your chances of getting your copy, on Tuesday, November 24th, which we're going to be launching it exactly at 6 p.m. Pacific. That's California time, 9 p.m. Eastern. All you got to do if you want to get on the early bird list is go to hearandplay.com/MT. Again, hearandplay.com/MT, which stands for Musician Transformation. And you'll put your information in that form, and it'll put you on our priority notification list. And basically what that means is that you'll get advance updates and you'll be notified an hour or two before we initially announce it to the public site. So, I mean, at the time of this recording, we have like 1,500 people on the priority list. So even that is going to be a rush, I know. And plus, after people hearing this, I'm sure we're going to get a lot more people on it. But at least that's a lot better, 1,500, which let's just say it's 2,500 by the time we release. That's a lot better before I mail it to the masses, which is about 310,000 people worldwide. So you definitely want to get on that early bird list, because our launches never get past that early bird list and usually sells out a couple hours, let alone a day. And for all you guys, Musician Transformation is pretty much a 5-DVD package with 7 audio CDs as well. It pretty much covers all 5 elements covered in my 2 reports. You'll get much of what you see talked about in the reports and a whole lot more. The main difference, though, is that these are videos, and as I showed in the learning pyramid, if you read something, you only retain so much. You have to keep reading it and rereading it. But if you watch it on video, if you're demonstrated something, all of a sudden your retention rate goes way up. So although the 44-page report is awesome, it is. It's a great resource. Thank you guys so much for your comments about it, the 29-page. But it's still under that reading element, and if you really want to take it up a notch, get somebody demonstrating it step-by-step in a video format, and then regardless of whether you get the DVD or not, whether you're reading it or watching it, you still got to practice, because at the end of the day, if you don't practice it, you're not going to get far at all. So the 5 DVDs, Fundamental Factory, that takes care of the fundamental fluency strategies. You know, those are all the basic, solid, foundational things that you see in the first block. That's the first DVD. It's like an hour and a half. Cord County is a big DVD. It's like 2.5 hours. That's where we mastered the chordal command part, all the chords, every chord used in gospel music, all the inversions, the voicings, the sevenths, the ninths, the elevenths, the thirteenths, altered chords, and shortcuts to playing them too. And you got to see a glimpse of all the chords that are used in gospel music in the report. Cord County pretty much delves into each one of them. Pattern Paradise, that's where we mastered the pattern proficiency concepts. And imagine a DVD just dedicated to patterns. That's pretty much Pattern's Paradise. How patterns are created, how they're formed, how they work, where to find them, how to use them. And it's all step by step. Because if you haven't gotten anything out of the report, one thing you should have gotten is that songs are full of repeated, predictable patterns that occur over and over again. And that's basically what Pattern Paradise, that DVD, will do. It's like another over two hours for sure. It just makes plain all the real-life examples, demonstrations, and illustrations of patterns at work. Song Station is the fourth element. It covers song solidity strategies that we've covered in the report. I mean, what it's doing here, I think this is the most powerful DVD in the collection, because it literally takes a song from the beginning, as if you were just sitting down to your piano, and how to tackle that song from the total beginning. I'm talking total beginning, everything. Nothing is left out. By the end of the song, after applying everything you've learned from Fundamental Factory, Chord County, Pattern Paradise, you're literally playing a beautiful masterpiece with it, all the way from basic chords. To some of you guys that are more experienced, there's an advanced section with advanced chords and movements that we build up over time. So that's the beauty of Song Station, because by the end of it, you actually see how to transform something that's so basic. First, you start from scratch, but then how to transform something that's basic and from literally ground zero to something very nice sounding and advanced, even though it's not that hard to play. And lastly, drum roll, everybody, Ear Elevator. And that's like a whole nother hour and some change that covers ear efficiency strategies and some of the concepts that we delved in towards the end of the report, you know, basically detailing how to use your ear to find other routes and other alternatives, and basically how to free yourself, how to know all the little things that you can do, that you don't have to do the same thing over and over. That playing by ear is not about sheet music, that it's actually about having the option and the freedom to go here or go there and using your ear to confirm that, yes, those were good decisions. So, whew, that is a lot of information, and I promise you, all you guys that are, you know, worried about the price, just don't worry about that right now. What you should be worried about is how can I afford not to get it? That's what you should be worried about, and how can I get on this list and make sure that I get it, because I promise I will be fair with it. So that is the cold course. Don't forget, head over to hearandplay.com/MT. Again, hearandplay.com/MT, and sign up for the special priority notification list so you don't miss out on it. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I hope that you just got some insight, you know, out of me just telling the story. That's all I wanted to do, is just give all you guys that had a million questions, just lay it all out in this one audio. And, oh, by the way, with the DNA thing, you know, I basically had a dream that she was my sister. I don't know. She looks just like my auntie. I never connected the dots over the years. We went to the same middle school. Never connected the dots. Had a dream. Woke up 6 a.m. I said, the day after my friend had the baby, because that's where I had this epiphany, you know. Certain things went down. I said, how do you know this? How do you know that? Okay, how old's your daughter? Okay, woke up, bam. And then, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, tell my dad, I think this is this, and tell her mom, I think this is this. And everybody's acting like they don't know what's going on. And I just have this bold confirmation that I knew, nah, something's not right here. And I ordered the DNA test. Lo and behold, 99.9998, the highest you can get from the DNA Diagnostic Center, came back. She is my sister. That put the icing on the cake, and, what can you say? I'm so happy. Got something, you know, got a whole nother gift this year. And, of course, you guys, always so appreciative of you. So thank you for listening, and I hope to hear from you on November 24th. Remember, if you can hear it, you can play it.